to the latest in a series of Client Alert podcasts from Akin Gump Strauss Hauer & Feld, LLP. To download the complete text version, including full annotations as well as contact information for the partners who can best answer your questions, please visit us at akingump.com and select Publications from the left-hand menu.
Employee Benefits Alert. Section 409A Compliance. Transition relief permitting correction of certain document failures will expire December 31st, 2010. Earlier this year, the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, issued Notice 2010-6, which permits taxpayers to correct certain inadvertent failures to comply with the documentary requirements of Section 409A of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended. One item highlighted by Notice 2010-6 concerns situations where payment schedules are determined based on the timing of an employee's execution and delivery of non-competition agreement or release of claims. The execution of these types of agreements by employees is fairly common practice in severance-eligible situations, whereby an employee, per the terms of an employment agreement or severance agreement, must sign a release and/or agree to be bound by the restrictive covenants in order to receive payments of severance. Many existing employment and severance agreements provide that severance and payments will commence on the date that the employee executes and delivers a release or non-competition agreement, and in some cases, following the end of a legally required revocation period, a common practice thought by many to be the complaint with Section 409A prior to Notice 2010-6. In Notice 2010-6, the IRS has taken the position that an arrangement that provides for payments to be made or commenced on the date that the employee signs and returns a release or non-competition agreement may permit the employee to designate the taxable year in which payments are made, and thus could result in violation of Section 409A. Notice 2010-6 affords certain relief for the correcting and non-qualified deferred compensation agreement by removing the ability of the employee to manipulate payment timing and providing that the payment be made on a certain date following a permissible payment event. For example, under the notice, a plan provision that provides that severance payment will commence on the first payroll date after the employee executes and submits a release of claims does not comply with Section 409A. However, this provision can be corrected by amending the plan to provide that severance payments will commence on the 90th day following the employee's separation from service, provided that the employee has executed and submitted a release of claims, and the statutory period during which the employee is entitled to revoke the release has expired on or before that 90th day. In addition to the release issue described above, as we indicated in our January 8, 2010 Employee Benefits Alert, IRS issues guidance for correcting document failures under Section 409A. Other document failures may be corrected pursuant to Notice 2010-6, including, but not limited to, the following. Terms providing for payment as soon as practicable or substantially similar language following a permissible payment event. Example given. Payment as soon as practicable following separation from service should be amended to read, payment no later than 90 days following separation from service. Permissible payment even with no definition or ambiguous definition. Example given. Payment upon an employee's termination of employment should be amended to read, payment upon an employee's separation from service within the meaning of Section 409A and the regulations thereunder. Impermissible definitions of separation from service, change in control, or disability. Certain impermissible alternative payment schedules. Example given, payment in a lump sum upon an involuntary separation from service and payment in 10 annual installments upon involuntary separation from service should be amended to read, payment in a lump sum upon separation from service. Failure to include a 6-month delay of payments to specified employees of public companies following their separation from service. In many cases, the relief provided under the notice is limited, and certain penalties will continue to apply if the corrected plan provisions affects the operation of the plan within 1 year following the date of the correction. However, transition relief is available that permits correction of certain document failures without incurring penalties under Section 409A, so long as a document failure is corrected by December 31, 2010. Note, however, that to the extent that the payments have been made, or not made, in a manner that is inconsistent with the amended provision, such payments will be treated as operational failures and will need to be corrected by December 31, 2010, under IRS Notice 2008-113. In order to stay current with the most recent pronouncements issued by the IRS and in light of the pending expiration of the transition relief available under the notice, we recommend that our clients undertake a wholesale review of their non-qualified deferred compensation arrangements now. Taxpayers should be mindful that the IRS has commenced Section 409A audits and that taxpayers will not be eligible to take advantage of the relief available under Notice 2010-6 once an audit has commenced. Although the relief available under Notice 2010-6 may not be the only means of correction, it provides a degree of certainty and an opportunity for penalty relief in many instances that plan sponsors should not ignore.
2010 Aiken Gump Strauss Hauer & Feld, LLP. All rights reserved. This document is distributed for informational use only. It does not constitute legal advice and should not be used as such. IRS Circular 230 Notice Requirement. This communication is not given in the form of a covered opinion, within the meaning of Circular 230 issued by the United States Secretary of the Treasury. Thus, we are required to inform you that you cannot rely upon any tax advice contained in this communication for the purpose of avoiding United States federal tax penalties. In addition, any tax advice contained in this communication may not be used to promote, market, or recommend a transaction to another party